You have one unheard message.
Hi, I was calling Current, the influencer marketing platform, but I think I just got redirected to a bunch of people listening to a podcast. Well, anyways, I was calling Current because I was told they could help get my brand set up on TikTok Shop and even build out an affiliate program of content creators promoting my brand and even have those content creators go on live streams and promote my product there. Wow, I could really use Current. I also heard that the brands they work with are making millions in sales. I guess I'll just go to their website at current.tech.
Hello and welcome back to a podcast from your favourite group, Fan Critical. That's right, we're back, baby. We're back. We've had few weeks off just recharging those old batteries, yeah? The double A's needed a good recharge, didn't they, Gareth?
I had to go and buy a whole new pack of double A's.
Duracell.
I was out.
There are other batteries, but Duracell. But we did, we did bring them a podcast, our lovely listeners a podcast, when we were even on holiday. We brought them the now infamous road trip podcast with John, where me, Gaz, and John went into the outback to discover ourselves and nature.
I mean, loose use of the word outback, but yes.
Very loose.
Theoretically.
But, you know, it paints a better picture. We did see giant spiders. Is that true?
Far too many. I went on a little meander myself to go to the toilet in the bush.
Have you seen that scene from Lord of the Rings with Shelob where Frodo's like wandering through the cave? He's going for a piss and then he gets caught in all these little sticky webs. That was Gareth.
That was all right. Sticky webs.
Yeah.
That's disgusting.
Well, John was there. Anyway.
just on that, just a quick one. I've had a couple of questions come through from people. There's a very specific part of the podcast where we keep saying goodbye to people. I just wanted to clear up that was the last bit of the podcast that we recorded.
Yeah.
It was when we were at our drunkest.
Yeah.
And we thought in our drunken podcast recording state, it was hilarious to say goodbye as we saw cars driving past and pretending that we had offended them in some way. So that's what that was, just in case.
So
people are still wondering.
Yeah. So if you did miss the last 15 minutes of the podcast because we said goodbye, go back and listen to it because we weren't saying goodbye to you. We were just drunk idiots at the side of a road. Yeah. Drinking out of a can. Yeah. Disgusting behavior. But this week we return to what is our bread and butter, as I like to say. And that is a review of a show. And I've got in my notes here, joining me is Gaz. But I've already done that, so you've already introduced yourself. Say hello again if you know.
Hello again.
Yeah, beautiful. That now we're sticking to my script.
Right, back on track.
Back on track. Now, guys, this show that we're going to be talking about today is, and look, we'll talk about it in a minute, I think the best show so far of 2022. Okay?
Oof.
Big call. This is the premise of the show. Of the show that we're about to talk about. Imagine this, dear listeners. What if I said to you that you could completely forget or not remember your time at work? All 8 hours or more could be separated from your consciousness. Is that something that interests you? All right?
Well,
Gareth?
I just started a new job and I'm quite enjoying it.
Yeah. So, not you. Not you. But I'm sure there are people out there.
But thanks for the offer.
Who just think, oh, I can't be bothered with this. And would love the idea, in theory, just from that pitch, of going along with this procedure called Severance. And that is the title of the show, Severance. And it's on Apple Plus TV. So at the moment, I feel like this show hasn't necessarily had the sort of exposure that a lot of shows similar, you know, on streaming services, you know, would usually get. I'm hoping that this is something that...
It's not a mass public horror.
No, it's not. But it is quite horrific, Gareth, this show, in a way, isn't it?
What do you mean? It sounds so pleasant. You never have to work another day in your life, is what you've just pitched.
Does sound very pleasant. The first part of this podcast is going to be me and Gareth spoiler-free reviewing the season of Severance, season one of Severance, and pitching to you, dear listener, if you have not watched the show yet, pitching to you why we think you should watch it. And if you trust our judgment, which I hope at this point, after listening to hundreds of podcasts and us reviewing things you do, you will finish this podcast, stop before we get to the spoilers, and then go and watch it. Basically, sever yourself from this podcast, go watch it, and then come back.
That's good, though.
So, Gareth, this show follows several characters, but mainly focuses on a character called Mark, an employee of a mysterious mega corporation called Lumen. His work life is severed from his personal life, a choice he made. We follow Mark in his outie form, and this will become clear, and his innie form as the new workplace consciousness of Mark begins to question his own reality and what Lumen is really up to. What do you think about that as a synopsis, Gareth? Do you think that sort of summarizes a little bit of what's going on?
Yeah, I would say the a significant sort of, you know, starting point for this narrative.
Yeah.
Is that there's a new employee who sort of makes Mark start to question.
Yeah, that's right.
And, you know, because in essentially, without that kind of that catalyst, there's no way that the innie version of Mark would ever question anything. Because all he knows is the life that he leads in work. That's all he knows.
And that's the thing that's mentioned, because when I first heard about this show and someone said that I was listening to another podcast and they were talking about episode one or two when it had just first come out and they talked about it and I was like, oh, so you just like leave your memories at the door, like your work life and your personal life are separate, but it's just a memory thing. And then, and this is no spoiler, but as you, you know, get into the show very early on, you realize, no, this is like creating a new person. This is like Black Mirror, where they sort of copy the consciousness and put it in those sort of security devices around the home, Gareth, and it's just disgusting and horrible to watch. This is essentially when once you are severed.
Are you supposed to be pitching people to watch this?
Yeah.
So, disgusting and horrible to watch. Don't put that on the poster.
Don't put that on the poster. But it's eerie as fuck. Like these innies, because they literally just live in Lumen, this company. They literally, all they know is working 9 to 5. So their memory stops when they leave the office. And then, so it's just in an instant, they're working again. So it's constant, right? And it's this new consciousness created. And you get this sense that these are different people to the people that chose to be severed. And that is just that alone is a very fascinating like topic to discuss and think about, like, you know, ethically, is this correct? What's going on? Is it a form of slave labor in a way? You know what I mean? But Gaz, I told you about the show and I mentioned to you how it feeds into something that we really like, liminal spaces, which is something that me and Gareth...
Luminal spaces.
Sorry, luminal spaces. Yeah, like we did
no,
there.
No, it is liminal.
No, I know it's liminal, but I see what you did there. Okay. So it's funny because if you don't know what liminal spaces are, just Google it now. You will find Reddit threads. You will find pictures. You will find videos about...
Watch some YouTube videos on liminal spaces.
It's crazy. It's basically... Just go Google that. It's easy for you to Google it than for us to explain it. But think Wes Anderson on steroids in terms of like symmetrical like corridors and doorways.
Yeah. Well, look, I mean, just so you have an idea, if you haven't heard of liminal spaces, so you have an idea of what we're talking about here. The word liminal means like sort of it's transitional, it's an in-between kind of thing. So any like there are lots of different contexts in which the word liminal works, but a liminal space is often, and this is, it's often like an in-between area. It's like a corridor that's empty or an abandoned, or not abandoned even necessarily, but just an empty space that should be occupied by people.
But isn't.
And it isn't at the time.
And think of like the lab, think of like Labyrinth, but with like office spaces and empty office spaces and shit like that, like never ending corridors that lead to nowhere. It's terrifying when you actually get your head around it. But I told you about this, guys, because I know that we're deep into that sort of into the world of liminal spaces.
It's so niche.
It's so fucking niche. But then when I started watching a show, I was like, holy shit, this show is tapping into that. And what is evident to me, I think, especially after watching, and this is just, you know, to our listeners, I'm just being honest. I've been watching like Moon Knight, right, on Disney Plus, another Marvel superhero show. It's got Oscar Isaac, fantastic actor. But I've realized that, and it's, I think there are some interesting things going on in the Marvel space, right? Like obviously I think Loki was very interesting, like a souped up Doctor Who. But like I've just, you watch something like that and then you watch this, and this has a clear identity, a clear vision. It is interesting. It's meticulously crafted. The acting is top notch. The directing, which is by Ben Stiller, by the way, which is crazy, is just got such a vision to it. Whereas I watch now the Marvel stuff and I'm kind of like, fuck me, I'm a bit bored. You know, it's look, Moon Knight is fine at the moment. Three episodes in. And I'm sure we'll talk about it on 60 Minutes. I've enjoyed parts of it a lot. But
that's good.
I was watching that alongside finishing this show, and Jesus Christ, I just didn't want to stop watching Severance. I thought it was so fascinating. Now, Gareth, if I were to ask you to persuade our listeners who haven't seen the show to watch it, what would you say? And what are your overall thoughts on Severance Season 1? Spoiler free. And of course, you can blueberry it. It's ridiculous to even. I shouldn't have to mention that. All right.
I wasn't actually going to ask that. I was going to say, you want me to give it the elevator pitch?
Ooh, I would like you to give it the elevator pitch and then the blueberry score. Lovely.
So that's a little in joke for anybody who has seen it.
Yeah. Good that.
I think at the moment, it's really hard to find TV and film that has a completely unique idea. Now, Len, you mentioned that this is Black Mirror-esque, and it definitely is. And there's like that. I'm not saying that this is a show that has come, that doesn't give us anything that we've ever heard of before, but this specific story I haven't seen. And the way that this has been told over, it's a 9-part series. There's nothing else like it at the moment, I don't think. And I reckon, you know, your phrase there, meticulously crafted, is perfect. Like, it's so well made. It's phenomenal. You can just see, like, every single decision that's gone into that show is with thought. It's so tightly made. I watched it with my wife.
Yep.
And after a few episodes, she said to me, "Now, don't get offended. I am enjoying this, but it is a bit slow." And so I immediately got offended, right?
Yeah.
Because I was like, that's the point, is like, I suppose you could look at this and say it's a bit slow to start with, but it doesn't matter. The visual treat that it is on its own is enough. Like the concept that you're exploring is enough. And there's a lot of mystery box stuff there that you don't necessarily understand straight away. And, you know, there will be conversations and you're like, oof, I don't know. I don't understand these characters' motivations for this particular conversation. That's all part of the beauty of it, because you know that this has been so well crafted that everything is going to mean something by the end. And it does. It's a 9-part series. The pace picks up massively in the last few episodes as well. But until that pace picks up, there is just so much intrigue and so much visual feastitude to feast on. That is more than enough. It's an excellent TV show.
Yeah.
Brilliantly acted. And there's a couple of actors in there who I don't know if I've seen them in anything. And I know that they have been in some stuff. Not Adam Scott, who's the main character. I obviously know him very well. But Helly, who's sort of the main kind of female protagonist.
Yeah.
I haven't seen her in anything. She's so good.
She's
such a good actor. I love her. But yeah, the acting, incredible. The visuals, incredible. The story, unbelievable. And just the concept is phenomenal. It is definitely a 5 blueberry TV show for me. And there haven't been many of those recently, in my opinion. I haven't seen much like this. I came off the back of watching an absolute pile of steaming shit called Inventing Anna.
Which I guarantee that a lot of people listening to this podcast have actually seen, Gareth, because it was one of those... There's like... I don't know how it happens, but like with Netflix, there's just this void that gets created sometimes, and then the most average shit show in the world gets released in a week where there's nothing else being released in the world. And it becomes a cultural phenomenon. Like, I'm going to say Bridgerton, fuck off.
Right.
Inventing Anna, get out of here. Like, what? Yeah. How
terrible.
These shows should not have the spotlight thrust upon them, because they are, in my opinion, lowest common denominator crap. And the only reason people watch them in such high volume is because of access and ease of access, not because they're seeking it out because it is a good show.
But in a way, I'm almost glad that I invested the 10 hours of time.
Never getting that back.
Oh, my God. Just because it made me really appreciate a quality show when I came across one, which was straight afterwards. Thank you, Inventing Anna, for making Severance seem even better than it was. And I'm sure I would have loved it.
You'd have given it a 6 now. 6 blueberries, which goes against the whole structure. You know,
honestly, if I could, and in fact, I can. I invented the blueberry system. Nobody remembers that, but
up for debate.
I originally had it as a 10 blueberry system, but it's fine. No, I loved it. I think it's brilliant, and everybody should watch it.
Yeah, I mean, like, I'm going to echo
the end.
The end. End of podcast. No, we've got lots to discuss, but I am going to echo what you said. I think that this show, and it's weird because there's some shows when you watch them and you're like, I know the tone of this show. Like, you sit there and go, this is what this show is. Like, True Detective is a perfect example in my head right now, where I watch that show and I'm like, gothic, detective, dark,
Southern gothic,
moody, fucking, I'm settling in for this. I know what I'm going to get. You put Severance on, 1 minute you're laughing, then you're a bit scared, then you're like questioning your morals. You know, and it makes you think, and it is creepy. Like, overall, I'd say the overall tone of the show is this eerie creepiness, like, especially with the liminal spaces, what's going on at this company, which is obviously a huge mystery throughout the season, and just how weird it is wonderful. It is just there are moments in there where I literally was like, what the f-? And I'm not usually taken aback by much, but I was just questioning, like, this is just, it's genius, but I have no idea why or what is going on. And those moments are just, you don't really get that watching TV shows much anymore. Like, you might get the shock moments or the plot twist moments, but you don't get the things where you watch it and go, I have never seen anything like this in my life. And that is special. That is something special.
You're right, but also just like to pick up on the like the crossover between sort of the humor and like the horror, and it is both. Like there are moments in there like that are so realistically office level dorky humor.
Yeah,
like, you know, somebody making a really shit average like dad joke and somebody else like chuckling at it. But then, which, you know, that could be something that happens in The Office, right?
Yeah.
As in the TV show, The Office. But then it's set in this world where literally their brains have been cut in half and they've been turned into this like bizarre non-entity.
It's culty. It's like that joke that you just mentioned, like a dad joke, but within a cult who has been conditioned to completely see the world in a different way. And it's a lot to get your head around and sort of discuss. I mean, it's got a fantastic cast, like you've already said, Gareth. Adam Scott, it's got John Turturro, Christopher Walken. As I said, directed by Ben Stiller, but so well put together. And, you know, for me, and I have this feeling with it that I haven't really had with a show since The Leftovers, which also has, I'd say The Leftovers, also a Damon Lindelof show, is an evolution of Lost, where it had mystery.
Banging on about The Leftovers again.
This feels like a Lindelof show to me. It feels like that.
It's a bit funnier though, isn't it?
It is. It's got I don't know. Watchmen was hilarious.
Yeah, that's true. That is fair.
Come on.
Yeah, go on.
But, you know, I think, I remember when I watched Lost for the first time. Obviously, cultural phenomenon, just unbelievable, crazy theories that went on with that show, and the mystery box.
Bang on about Lost.
And the mystery box aspect of it. Yeah, I know. And then Leftovers came out, and I think that refined that technique and also told a very emotional story, but left the mystery box stuff was not. It was explicit to you there that it's not necessary for you to understand why some of this stuff is happening, but it's about the characters, it's about the emotions, and I think it refined what Lost did. And then I watch this now, and it's like I haven't had a feeling watching a show since Leftovers or Lost like this, where I literally am like, the mystery is so enticing, but you don't. Sometimes you just don't need. I've already accepted that I don't need to know some information. Like, and that's good because it's never going to disappoint me then. I know they're going to tell me some things, but the mystery just and the sort of aura that is created around this world that they've you know, put together, that these characters live in. Like, I have questions like, what is the state of the actual world that they're living in? Like, geopolitically, like in terms of climate change, in terms of wars that have happened. I mean, what year is it? I don't fucking know. Like, there's so many mysteries in there. And we won't go into any of them in this spoiler-free section, but I will echo your thoughts. It's 5 blueberries for me. And, yeah, I am devastated that it's finished. And I haven't had that.
For now.
I haven't had that feeling for a while. And the thought of having to wait till next year for the season 2 is crazy. But, yeah, it's 5 blueberries for me. And
one thing I will say, just thinking about kind of how we've both described this show, I think we've painted a picture of a kind of very sort of cerebral experience, like a serene kind of passive experience, and in some ways it is. But then I'm just thinking the last few episodes, the last three probably in particular, and the last one, the last half an hour of that last episode, my heart was racing so much. It was so exciting and like pulsating. So, you know, it is this like sort of weird liminal, like spacey kind of vibe, but it's also compelling viewing. Like it's exciting, and it's just fucking good, isn't it?
It's just fucking good. At the end of the day, trust our judgment, listeners. If you haven't seen it, go watch it, and if you have, stick around because we're about to get into spoilers after this quick advert break. Yes, just a quick advert to say thank you for all the incredible support, kind words. You know, I know we had a few weeks off But these things are needed just to get, you know, like I said, to recharge.
Recharge.
We've got some fun things. Stock up. Definitely. We've got some fun things coming up. We have a review of The Northman, Robert Eggers' new film, which looks fantastic, and right up mine and Gareth's alley. And I'm sure John will come along to maybe, you know, try and temper our excitement on that one.
Look forward to him slagging it off.
Of course. We have our review of Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness, which, to be fair, does look very interesting and I think could be a very cerebral, bringing cerebral into it, Gareth, a very cerebral movie. So we're definitely going to be reviewing that. That's what's coming up in
this. Not liminal, though.
No. Well, I think there will be some liminal spaces in there, Gareth. I reckon. Yep, so check those out. They're going to be our next two reviews and they're pretty much in succession. And just to say...
We're not doing Succession as well, are we?
Well, we should. Brilliant show. Brilliant show. Me and Lucy love it. I know you've started watching it. Everyone watch Succession. It's brilliant. But just to say...
After Severance.
If you do want to sponsor us, you can go to patreon.com/fancritical. On there are different tiers. You can donate, get some extra bonus content, interact with us, maybe on a more personal level, send us emails, whatnot. And any money is massively appreciated. We have a new Patreon since we've been on our little sabbatical for a few weeks, Zach Hoffman. Zach, thank you very much for your contribution. It is very much appreciated. And welcome to the Fan Critical Blueberry Foundation, which is now what I'm calling the group that all of our Patreons are in, Gareth. I've renamed it the Blueberry Foundation. So
we haven't agreed to that.
There's been no agreement, but I'm creative director.
But well done, Zach, being member number one.
Yeah, there you go. So thanks, Zach. Thanks for the money. Really appreciate it. And thanks for your support, more importantly. And like I said, if you want to join Zach and be a legend, like all our other Patreons, our lovely, lovely Patreons, go to patreon.com/fancritical. The link is in the show notes. Now, let's get into spoilers for Severance Season 1. All right, I've written in my notes here, Gareth, where the fuck do I start with this? So I think the big thing to mention first and foremost is when I first started watching this show, like I mentioned, it surprised me how separate the consciousnesses were of the characters. I thought, like I said, it would be a memory thing, but it turns out that the severed individuals that just work within Lumen are their own characters. And for me, that was a game changer because it made it less like it made it more ethical, which the show sort of delves into later on.
Why is that more ethical to you?
I think if it was just you deciding to erase some of your memory, like the way I originally pictured it, it was like you just have a blackout, you know, for a bit. I didn't think about it logically, like, oh shit, like the person who wakes up and just inside Lumen is their own person. You know, I thought it would just be an extension of that character and not necessarily a whole new character, you know, with different traits, different emotions, different ethics.
Yeah, but are you saying the way that it is more ethical to you?
No, it's more makes me think about the ethics of it. Whereas if it
right,
was just,
I've got you.
Yeah. Whereas if it was just a memory thing, I would kind of be like, oh, that's interesting. But now it's like, now I know the whole process and like what it does to a person after watching the whole season. And, you know,
I mean, like you said, right. You know, the innies are essentially born the moment that they wake up on that desk.
Gross.
And obviously they have like their learnings, like their life learnings. You know, Helly was able to name Delaware as a US state.
Yeah, yeah.
So congrats to her. But they don't have any of their personal memories, right?
Yeah.
And there's an argument that personal memory is what makes you who you are, essentially. And in losing that and having to start that again, you are becoming a brand new person. So that's, I guess that's the concept. But yeah, it gets really dark when you think about the fact that all that character knows is work. And those lift doors close And then they to open. Them, instantaneously, they open and they start work again.
Mm.
That's fucked. I mean,
it's fucked.
Like I said, I've got a new job that I'm really enjoying, but I don't think I'd want to be doing it in perpetuity. Like, it's quite nice to have a break and come home. And that is a dark thought. And I was exactly the same, Len. Like, I didn't think about the implications of that. And, you know, on one side, their outies never work a day in their life.
That's right.
They don't have that.
And it's interesting because obviously people choose to do this procedure. Like Mark, the main character who we're discussing now, like goes through this journey as the main protagonist. But he chose to do this because of the grief after losing his wife. He chose that I just need some, if I could switch off and just get work done without having to think about her, then that's what I need to do. I just need, this is his way of dealing with grief, which is quite,
no, but then
yeah,
you can understand that as a motivation, but then you also think about the practical implications of it. And but, the fact is Mark himself as himself, he gets no benefit from that. Like he still,
yeah,
thinks about her all the time.
Yeah. I think it's a way of any version, cutting his life shorter. It feels to me, it's like,
yeah,
as a perspective, which is quite dark. But Mark goes on this journey, obviously, throughout the show, and where his best mate at work, who he doesn't know because only his innie, Mark S, knows the guy.
PT,
yeah. They're like best mates at work. But then PT finds Mark in the outside world and says, hey, we work together. And Mark's like, what? How'd you know that? And he says, I've unsevered. And thus begins the journey of Mark starting to slowly question what is going on with his innie and what is going on at work. And this runs parallel to his innie training up Helly R, a new recruit that you mentioned, who essentially is like, fuck this. From the moment it happened, she's like, this is fucking mental. And her whole goal is to escape and persuade her outie to resign.
Yeah.
And there's a reason we'll get onto in a minute why that is never going to happen. But she goes as far as trying to kill herself, doesn't she, Gareth? It literally kill herself to kill her outie, essentially, which I thought was fucking like really powerful messaging about what this is to these people. If you know, I was thinking like some people would just wake up and on that table like you mentioned and go, oh yeah, okay, this is fucking weird, but that's what it is. But she is so defiant, and there would be people that would just be like, fuck this, I'll top myself, I'd rather kill myself, fuck you for doing this to me. Do you know what I mean? It's strong stuff.
One thing that I think that I sort of thought about is the innies are kind of the purer version of that person. Like it's more kind of the untainted, the unspoiled version. And so like Helly's kind of down to earth defiance and like sense of justice is like a really, like that's an inherent sense of justice that she as a person obviously has, but her outie has clearly lost that purity because of who she is. Like I'm sure we'll talk more about it, but obviously because she is part of she's one of the Egans,
the cult
founder family, the cult, which has obviously influenced who she is as a person, as an outie. But you know that like deep down the real her is more like the innie. And that's a really interesting concept as well.
No, it is. It is, yeah.
But yeah, that suicide thing is pretty mad because she hangs herself, passes out, and then her innie would wake up after she's been to the hospital and kind of
got
recovered.
Better. Yeah.
And then she's in. And so she passes out and then the lift doors open. She's back at fucking work.
Back at work.
Right, go and do some numbers, please.
Yeah, that's a good point, Gareth, the numbers. So macro data refinement is the department which, you know, Mark, Helly, Irving and what's his name?
Dylan.
Dylan, who's awesome.
Love Dylan.
Do those four characters work in? They're overseen by Mr. Milicek, who is a fucking creepy dude. Like, wow, he is so creepy, man. Like, it's just crazy. And then they're overseen by a manager called Miss Cobell. And basically, it all takes place in these, you know, liminal corridors and just never-ending passageways that lead to different departments. But the MDR department, like, their job is to isolate numbers that they see as scary and then put them in a box. And they have quotas to do that, like, every quarter, like a salesperson would, right? Like, you have to hit target. They have to find a certain amount of scary numbers in a huge sequence of numbers.
Yeah.
It's just fucking bizarre. But,
yeah,
you know, it's just brilliant. Like, something like that is just like, that's a mystery. You know, these are the mystery things I'm talking about. I mean, we can talk about the numbers now. I mean, like, what do you think about the numbers? What do you think they're doing down there? Because Lumen, the whole skew of the show is like, I think there's two questions. I think there's like, is severance something that's needed or good? Or is are there any benefits to it that are actually ethically okay? And the second question is, what is Lumen up to? Like, what is this company? Like, it feels very much like a big corporation where you just don't know what's going on down there. And that's why they have a severed floor, you know, so their secrets don't escape.
Yeah.
People can't talk about what they're doing.
I really like this idea of them identifying scary numbers.
Yeah.
Like, because it sort of reminds me of things that we've spoken about a little bit in terms of like horror and what like fear is and what it should be. And, you know, the idea that a collection of numbers could be scary. I kind of love that, because like anything can be scary, and this is what sort of too many horror film makers don't understand, is like they think things, the only thing that's scary is stuff that is dark and then jumps at you, or it's quiet and then there's a big bang. But like real horror, real fear kind of just taps into your subconscious. You don't necessarily know why it's creepy. And I'll tell you what, a really good example of that is liminal spaces. Mm. Liminal spaces are creepy as fuck, but you don't know why they're creepy.
Yeah.
You can't really say. And it's like it taps into this kind of nostalgic part of your brain or something. And that's what I love that concept with these numbers, is that, well, how can numbers be scary? But they can, to the right person, like anything can be.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's bypassing any obvious fear and just going straight into your fear lobe, which is definitely a part of the brain.
I think there's obviously something at play with who is in macro data refinement and why they are there. And I don't know what it is yet. Here's some theories for you, for lovely listeners and for Gareth from Reddit about what MDR are doing. Some people have said that the MDR, when they are choosing these scary numbers and binning them, that is actually them binning individual memories from their outies to maintain this severed lifestyle amongst all of the severed personnel.
Issue with that,
go on.
As a theory.
Go on.
What's the point? Like, what? So their job is to come in
and
get rid of memories so that they don't remember what they're doing at work.
No.
But what they're doing at work is not just them. Their memories.
But it's not just them. It's all severed people. Because we know throughout the show that severed people can be unsevered just with the click of a button. Like,
I withdraw my objection.
So what they're doing is actually keeping like resurgent memories at bay, if you get what I mean. And any danger of this severed lifestyle crossing over at bay, which I thought was pretty interesting and plays into the fear factor. That's why those numbers seem odd to the people who are severed, because the numbers are so like alien to them, like the alien memories. I thought that was very interesting. So you know, that's just a little theory for you, Gareth, and lovely listeners.
Yep. Don't mind that.
Lumen as a whole, though, like obviously founded by Lumen is kind of like Apple, it seems to me, but like a really fucked up Apple that's just got this whole subculture of cult behind it. Like if Steve Jobs's family was like a like lineage was like quite culty, because the Egans are essentially, they have their own sort of beliefs and principles and scripture that seems like a Bible, and the Egans date back hundreds of years to like sort of what seems like colonial times, and the sort of teachings of Kia have been passed down. Kia Egan, who is like the one who started this whole thing, and the,
well, there's a whole town named after him as well.
Yes. And the innies are sort of even, you know, taught that this is why they do everything, to follow the scripture, to follow the laws, to follow Kier's teachings. And the way I see it is like the Egan family are like this super powerful entrepreneurial family, but one that's just had history throughout the decade, throughout the, you know, centuries. And that sort of plays into this whole fucking weird culty situation that is going on at Lumen for these people who literally just work their 9 to 5 and that is their whole life. You know, the way that the departments are split up, which they seems like it's like a 10-minute walk to get to the next department, and they're all isolated, all the departments are like isolated from each other. You've got things like the Melon Party, where just for some reason, if they do well, melon is brought in and they all get to eat some melon. But for them, this is like a treat. This is like, oh, this is normal. This is like what treats must be like in the outside world. They have the DME, the Dance Music Experience, or the MDE.
Oh, that, I mean, that's fucking mental.
So if
that is insane.
If one person does really well at something, they get to play a record of their choice and have a disco. In these weird liminal spaces. It's just fucking, that sequence blew my mind. I was like, this is amazing. Because my brain was just like, what is going on here? They also have a waffle party, which is, you know, the highest, I believe, the highest reward anyone can receive, which starts off quite nicely.
Tame.
They get some waffles. If they meet their quarterly, you know, if they meet their numbers, but then they retire to a replica of Kia Egan's bed and sort of sexy dancers come in.
Oh, you think they're sexy?
Some are, yeah.
Well, because they're weird, creepy masks on.
So yeah, but they're wearing...
Strange that you think that's sexy.
Yeah, they're wearing giant papier-mâché masks of previous Egans, I think. It's just fucking bizarre.
It's terrifying.
But this is what happens. You've got this cult that is created within the severed floor of Lumen. And it blows my mind because these people just leave and then they don't know what's going on down there. But down there, there's just this whole fucked up world that's going on. That is why the show's amazing. Gareth, what did you think about... And this is something that I thought was very nice. So Mark works with Heliar, Irving, and... Dylan, who loves a waffle.
Write his name down if you need to.
He bloody loves a waffle party, he does. But I thought John Turturro's character of Irving and Christopher Walken's character of Bert, who is someone else who works on the seventh floor but in a different department, actually showed me something that I hadn't seen on television before, which was an elderly.
You make up words. You'll never see it.
Yes. Yeah, it's true. A sort of elderly same-sex romance between the two of them. I haven't seen that before, Gareth. It was very sweet, very touching, and kind of took me aback. It's amazing to me that these actors I've seen them in so many different things, but I feel like this is just a whole new role for the both of them. And I loved it. I thought it was brilliant. I thought it was such a sweet story amongst this chaos and anarchy and cultism that's going on down there.
Well, it was lovely. It was really sweet. You're right.
Mm.
But also Irving, John Turturro's character, is like,
yeah,
ultimate company man.
Yes.
Like he's bought into this hook, line, and sinker.
The Kia philosophy. Yeah.
But he fully believes in the mission.
Yeah. Yep.
And I guess that, you know, without wanting to be too cynical about it, this romance allowed him to have the motivation to turn on that.
Yeah.
You know? What's great is that it was really touching. It was really sweet. It also served a massive narrative purpose because when Bert is leaving, that's what drives Irving to go.
That was really sad. That was really sad.
Let's burn this place to the ground.
Yeah, I love that. I love that turn.
It's quite a turnaround from him who, he's constantly quoting the scripture, isn't he? And
if they do anything out of place, like, oh, those pictures shouldn't have been removed, we have to wait until the new ones arrive, then we get rid of them. I was like, can you stop talking about the pictures, mate? You kept bringing it up every 5 seconds.
Yeah,
I was like,
bringing it up.
It was quite funny.
I have just double checked the picture rules, and it is important that we do keep them until the new pictures are ready.
It is good. Let's talk about the biggest reveal of the season, which is that Mark is, you know, he chose to be severed. He's actually just quite, he's very depressed. He's going through a lot of grief. You can see that.
You reckon that's huger than any other reveal, do you?
No, it's coming. The reveal is coming. He's a very depressed person because of his wife's death. And he has trouble dating on the outside world because he can't obviously get over his wife, which is understandable. And they beautifully do it, actually, like show him ripping up a picture to this woman that he's seeing, say, look, I don't even need to think about her, and you've never seen a picture of this woman. And then he pieces it back together and you see it is someone he works with on the severed floor, Miss Casey. And that was like just a complete mind fuck. I was like, holy shit. She's this very stoic, very sort of robotic, I would say, android-like.
Robotic.
Yeah.
Spot on. Yeah.
Psychologist who...
Yeah.
Who is just kind of a side character, but then suddenly you start seeing things, you know, like between them, and you're like, okay, this is interesting. And it kind of plays into that idea that maybe this is some kind of fucked up experiment. Like, what the fuck is she doing down there? She died in a car crash, apparently. But yet she's on something called the testing floor, and they bring her up to be a counsellor on the severed floor. Her severed personality is a counsellor. So the real Gemma, his wife, is on the testing floor. At the same time... Irving's outie is painting the lift to the testing floor.
Yeah. So why? I can't think why that is. Has he come from the testing floor?
Well, we know that Irving is his outie. We found out that he's an ex-army person and he's actively investigating all members who are severed, right? The staff members. Apparently, there's a theory going around that he's like a mole on the severed floor, and he's repeatedly painting the testing, because he just does that. That's all he does, Gareth. He just paints the fucking testing floor elevator. And it's that idea of he's trying to do it to brainwash his innie to go and find it. And if you remember, Irving throughout the show keeps seeing black paint drip like everywhere. So it is seeping, pardon the pun, the paint is literally seeping into his memory, like in his subconscious, to say, like, go investigate this floor. They are doing things to people. Lumen is doing things to people on this floor. And
so here's a question
for you.
Yeah,
go on, shoot.
Before we started recording, I said to you, I hope you've got some theories for me, because I haven't read any and I need them.
Yeah.
Just going back to Gemma / Miss Casey.
Yeah.
What do we think? Do we think she did die in a car crash and then she's been like revived into this robotic Miss Casey form, or did she not die at all and this is like a conspiracy cover up because they took her or something, know what I mean?
There's a couple of theories out there. One is that she is literally a robot, which is quite actually a popular theory at the moment within the community. I mean, to be honest with you, Gareth, I don't want to go there. I think the Westworld thing's done and dusted. Let's just sack that off.
Yeah, I don't want that.
The other one is that she was actually, like you said, sort of pronounced dead, maybe comatosed, and Lumen saw an opportunity, and they're actually operating on comatosed individuals to see if they can be repurposed as severed.
Mm.
So once again, playing into this slave sort of situation, slave worker, they see these people as brain dead, but they think if their consciousness, if they can sever them, even when they're comatosed, and then send them up to the severed floor where the machine turns them on, the severed personalities, they might have a second life and be able to be used. How fucked up is that?
That's fucked up.
It's fucked up.
Also, I want one of those sessions with Miss Casey.
Yeah.
I want her to tell me my outie is kind to all animals.
Mm, that'd be nice.
Your outie once helped a lady with her shopping bags.
It's just bizarre, but I love it.
I love the arbitrary, like, random nature of the the feedback. It's like such a range of things.
It's so good. That's just another weird thing that this show does excellently. It's just world building. Mm. It's just world building, but in the most bizarre, creepy way. But obviously that last episode centers around all four of the MDR department working together, unsevering with the emergency unsevering procedure that Dylan is able to enact within Lumen, whilst the other three, Irving, Heliar, and Mark, get to essentially for the first time as their innies become innies in the outside world. They overtake the personality of the outie when the outie is like on a weekend or after work or something. Mark's at a party of his sister and brother-in-law, his book reading. Heliar finds out that she is in fact an Egan, one of the most prominent Egans. So she's actually severed herself to essentially promote severance as a thing that shouldn't just happen in the workplace, but something that should happen if women want to forget having labor. They just sever themselves for a day. Or if people want
to... What if we wanted to forget labor? Because... Mm.
Yeah, it was an experience, but nothing that like our partners went through, Gareth. So,
they've got hormones.
So there's this whole thing with her. Like the big reveal is that's why she is so important to everyone, because she is actually like, she's like the Steve Jobs character, who has put herself within her company and severed herself to then be a publicity stunt to convince the world, or at least America, as far as we understand it, that severance should not just be in the workplace, but is actually integral to the evolution of humankind. Fuck me. That's some heavy stuff. And obviously, before the switch gets turned off and they have to, Dylan gets wrestled to the ground by Mr. Milicek, Mark is able to see that his wife was Miss Casey / Gemma, and he's able to scream out, "She's alive," to his sister just before the switch gets flipped. And that is how the season ends. And wow, it was amazing. I was left with I know you're going to end the episode here, you fuckers. Well done.
Mm. I thought it was they were going to take the easy route before he said anything, or before he saw it. I was really pleased that they didn't go there.
Oh yeah,
it's a shame that he didn't say Gemma's alive or something.
I think she's alive. He's holding the picture as he says it.
Yeah, okay.
He's running down the hallway.
That's enough, isn't it?
Yeah, she'll say, "What have you got there?" The picture, and it'll be of Gemma. And that just gives them such impetus for season two now that I'm like...
Oh, so good.
I feel like this show probably has only got a shelf life of 3 seasons. It feels like that would any longer would be too much for me.
Maybe 100%.
Yeah.
You bringing up Lost, I think, is an excellent comparison, because if they went down the Lost route, it would lose
potency.
It'd lose its potency. Yeah. They'd start bringing in new mysteries that haven't been pre-planned.
That's why Leftovers was good, Gareth, because it was 3 seasons and they were sometimes 8 episodes, 7 episodes, and it just felt right, like, to end it where it did.
I think Ben Stiller said they wanted to do this in a tight window. Like, they don't want it. They don't want it rambling onwards. I reckon there's a chance it might even just be a 2 season.
I would totally be fine with that, because I think the moment, like, even now, and this is just a discussion, you know, spoiler wise, I don't know how they can keep those people going to work. I understand there's a mutual benefit to it. Like, they want to find out what Lumen are doing, and the people inside want to bring Lumen down for some reason that they don't know yet. So there is a reason to keep doing it, but there has to be a point where this mega powerful corporation is just like, we can just kill these people. Yeah. Like, you know what I mean? It's so sinister already that everyone is at risk here, apart from Heliar, who is obviously, you know, god tier protected.
Mm. Apart from against herself.
Exactly, which is quite a powerful message in its own right, isn't it? But yeah, I mean, is there anything else you want to bring up, Gareth? I think it's a difficult one, because we could sit here talking about it for days, about what Lumen are doing and what stuff's going on. But I just think, like I said, we're never going to find out some of that stuff. I obviously, they're into some, like we've already talked about, the comatose, which is a theory, the comatose experiments, and the idea of preserving memories and stuff like that, and maybe immortality is a goal for the Egan family, you know what I mean, passing on consciousness, which is another Black Mirror type of concept. Is there anything you want to bring up?
I want a music dance experience.
I'll tell you what happened. If we make our quarterly download quota for the podcast, yeah, all right, so listener, this is on you, all right, if we hit a certain amount of downloads, all right, which I will know what the target is, we will have a live music dance experience on one of the 60 minute episodes, where we will get, Gareth will get to choose a record of his choice, and we will post it on Patreon with strobe lights. And we'll have a bloody great time dancing around to that one song.
I want, you know, what is it? Like, restrained jazz or whatever it's called.
Oh, my God. That was amazing. That was just amazing.
So good.
And also,
Mr. Milchick,
how good is he dancing? Fuck me. He was unbelievable. Fantastic. I was like, but his smile when he's doing it is so creepy, bro. I was like, oh, this is crazy. Anyway, that's the goal. So, listeners, you've heard it here first. If we make this next quarter's downloads.
I mean, download anything. You haven't given anyone a number here.
There's no numbers. I know the numbers.
It was 7 million. So we
7 million would be very nice, Gareth. That would be very nice. No, I will. We'll announce it on a 60 minutes, right? Probably around July. So don't forget. Anyway, thanks, Gareth. Thank you for your participation. I'm going to send.
Okay, I'm going to go and switch off now.
I'm actually sending you off to a wellness session. Right now, which is something you really need. I feel you really need that to hit your quarterly mark, and get your.
Can you give me any sort of spoilers, any information that I might hear in my wellness session about my outie?
You'll hear about how your outie supports a terrible football club. Your outie, your outie. gets hung over on a frequent basis. Your outie can't handle his alcohol.
Right now, for example.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, you'll hear things like that. But thank you for joining us. Unsever yourself and go see John. And that's a lovely day for everyone, isn't it? Thank you, lovely listeners. And if you did stick with us throughout the spoiler section, Still go watch it.
Well done for watching.
Well done for watching. Yeah, if you've seen it, like, fuck me, you're a genius and you're in line with our thinking. If you haven't seen it, go watch it, okay? All right? Thanks, guys.
You too will be a genius. So.
That's right. Thanks, guys. We'll catch you on the next one. And for us, as severed individuals, we just podcast, in like Gaz said, constantly. So when I hit stop, I'm just going to hit, the next thing I remember is going to be hitting start for the review of The Northman. So see you there. Bye.
Bye. Hey, kids, what's for dinner?